The attack in the West African nation. The frequent critic of President Obama is the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee. USA Radio News.
Franklin Graham calls it a must-see.
Don't you dare tell me about the love and the compassion of your so-called God.
Mike Huckabee calls it a giant step forward for the faith-based genre.
Do you believe that God hears?
God always answers prayer.
Jerry Falwell Jr. says Let There Be Light offers forgiveness and hope when it's needed most. Kevin Sorbo and Sean Hannity present the most anticipated Christian movie of the year. Let There Be Light. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13 in theaters October 27. Find a theater at lettherebelightmovie.com.
Despite the protests and declining ratings, nothing's going to change with the head of the NFL. Here's Mark Mayfield.
Goodell spoke yesterday following the NFL owners' meeting in New York. Goodell said they have a great opportunity to work with the players and try to improve our communities. He added that the goal is to have no players protesting the anthem, but making it mandatory to stand isn't necessary. Goodell touched on a few other topics, including announcing the 2018 NFL draft will take place in Dallas, as well as a new partnership with Ticketmaster. He also said he's been pleased with the improved pace of play.
An anti-Christian organization has had the federal court rule in their favor, trying to get a memorial to soldiers removed because it includes a cross. Chris Barnes reports.
The memorial, which stands at a major intersection in Bladensburg, Maryland, just outside the nation's capital, is known as the Peace Cross. A three-judge panel of the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals ruling 2-1 against that 40-foot-tall memorial, saying that it has the primary effect of endorsing religion. The marble and cement structure has stood there since 1925, honoring 49 men from Prince George's County, Maryland, who died in World War I. The ruling is going to be appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court. I'm Chris Barnes.
An elementary school in Mississippi changing its name to honor former President Obama. Davis Magnet International in Jackson took its name from the president of the Confederacy, Jefferson Davis. It's now going to replace Davis's name with that of Barack Obama. USA Radio News.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com. And I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hutton Chamber Radio entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake and knowing why they were incarnated here in this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose. And thank you so much.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance.
Well, good afternoon. This is Life is a Spiritual Occasion. We're over here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com or WHCRDB. I'm Suzanne LeGay. I'm your host, and today on Life as a Spiritual Occasion, we're going to be talking about relishing life. What's not good news about that? But what does it mean, you know, to relish life? I just love that word, relish. And we're talking of the joy part of relish. I don't even eat relish on hot dog. But what do we mean to relish life? Well, it's a liking of, an enjoyment of, it's a pleasurable experience or to take pleasure in something. And that is this sort of joy, that joie de vivre or whatever it is. So we get that probably. But today let's examine it a little bit more deeply. Can we always relish life, I would ask? Or how about in the down times? Do we still relish life? Well, what if we could have freedom from the limitations that occupy our hearts and mind? What if we could relish life all the time? That's the conversation we're going to have today over not just with our guest in the audience. Today we're talking to our guest who's in the Boston area in Franklin, I believe. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yes, in Franklin, Mass. And with us today, that knows a little bit about this subject of relishing life, is Eileen Clouser. And Eileen is a wife. Eileen is a mother. She's a hospice volunteer, which I'm sure is a place where a lot of lessons about life reach her. And she's a spiritual student. So, with that introduction, welcome, Eileen.
Thank you, Suzanne. It's a pleasure. Thank you. It's really an honor and a pleasure to be here. So, again, thank you so much.
Well, I'm delighted to have this conversation with you today. And Eileen and I talked a little bit before, as they say, in the green room, when we were talking about today's subject a little bit. And Eileen, you had a beautiful way, really, to launch this thoughtful conversation about relishing life. I wonder if you recall that enough to share that with our listeners today.
Actually, I do, Suzanne, and it was quite dramatic for me because you and I hadn't talked for a while, but since we're both going on the same trip, you checked in with me, and I was out walking up a hill. So that alone was a personal challenge. as I'm walking up the hill, Suzanne, my dear friend, calls, and we were just sharing details about the trip, and I said to her, how's the radio show going? Because I'm such a fan. And she went on and told me a little bit about it and the fact that she had a vacancy. Someone canceled, and she said, suddenly, would you like to do it? Well, I'm not a seasoned speaker, but I am a seasoned friend of hers, and I know she gives thoughtful consideration to that. And so I said, let me check with my inner guidance, and I'll get back to you on that. Well, I thought I was going to take a couple of hours. It didn't take me very long, because at the end of my walk, I came back in the house, and I went to the kitchen table, and I had been reading a book before I left. And I came back in, and interestingly, the book was not left with its front cover up, but with its back cover up. And the back cover, it said, two words stood out at me. Do you relish life? Wow, it seemed like a challenge. And it seemed like a personal challenge to me. I had just been offered to do something that was slightly out of my comfort zone. And it seemed like saying no would be saying no to relishing a new experience. So checked inwardly. I got a green light. I often look, is it red, yellow, or green? And this one was full-on green. So I got back to Suzanne, and I said, yeah. I said, and how about this topic, relishing life? It's not always been an easy one for me. We all have personal challenges in our lives. So what I immediately did, when I looked at the fact that it was going to be a challenge for me, I said, okay, I've got to get out of the negative part of my head and back into the positive. So I did that by listing a whole bunch of things that I really, really relish. So here's a shortened list because I just kept going on a toot with this one, and there's tons of stuff that I really, really like. Number one was being outdoors, where I got this phone call from Suzanne. It was a beautiful sunny day, and love that. I love that first cup of tea in the morning. I put lots of spices and turmeric and cinnamon in it lately, and it is just the best. And even when I make a second one, it's just not as good. So it's the first cup of tea. My grandchildren's eyes, I relish the light in them. My conversations, heart-to-hearts with my girlfriends, animals. Animals are a big part of relishing life. Although I don't have any in the house, I really relish my relationship with my children's animals. A couple of dogs, a bunch of cats, and I love being with them. And the last thing is the aha moments that I relish, and usually don't get too many of those unless I push myself a bit. So, given that list...
Sounds like this is an aha moment, Eileen.
It certainly is. It certainly is. Pushing through to get here is an aha moment.
Good for you.
But,
thank you.
Yeah.
But you had a story about a particular little guy in your life, right?
One of the animals. He's not mine. But I did rescue him from a barn. Most people are familiar with this word CSA, Community Supported Agriculture. And so I go to this barn on this farm once every week to pick up my vegetables and just drink in the atmosphere of the whole place. And there are many barn cats. And these cats are all Maine Coon derivatives. Supposedly 25 years ago, they did have a full-bred Maine Coon on the property. And they all have come out with Maine Coon traits, which means that they have a fifth claw, they like water, and they're very friendly, very fluffy cats. Well, did I mention I have a husband who has allergies?
No.
And I can't have them in my house. But I can have them briefly when they're kittens, before their coat really fully develops. So last year was my first one that I rescued from the farm. Every spring, the owner, Laura, has a ton of cats and generally gives them away to folks who ask nicely and who have been around her for a while. So last year was my first cat, and her name was Chloe. But this year's cat was going to my second daughter, and he got the name of Gus. Well, Gus has turned out to be probably one of the most interesting cats that we've ever had in our family. Now, Suzanne has known a lot of the cats in my family over the years. In fact, we shared one once who was also a character. But Gus...
As I recall, Eileen, that cat chased the deer in the backyard. That's how bold cat was.
That's right. And do you remember you told me about that cat bringing home a great big turkey feather as though he took down the turkey?
Yes, I do.
You remember that? Anyway, so Gus is cut out of this kind of line of adventurous, bold, loving little cat. He has become, well, first of all, he moved into a household where there are no children. And so the animals really are showered with unconditional love. Constantly. They are thought of extremely highly. They're not terribly disciplined, but they are loved fully. So little Gus moves in at the age of 6 weeks and within 2 weeks has begun to run the show. Totally runs the dogs and now is beginning to run the adult cat as well.
But Gus has some shortcomings, doesn't he? Or what you and I might have, or an odd onlooker might consider shortcomings, right?
Did I mention that he has a broken tail?
No.
He's got a broken tail. So he looks like a fox. His tail never raises. It's full and fluffy. He has an umbilical hernia, and he has a blocked tear duct. And it's not clear.
Where's the navel in a cat eye?
Well, it's in the lower part of the abdomen, so it protrudes a little. And when you touch him or pick him up, you can feel this little bulge.
I would never think of a navel or an umbilical hernia in a cat. But anyway, that's aside from your story. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No. I was surprised as well, because the first time I turned him over at my daughter's house and he was just fully accepting a full body massage, I said, ooh, this little guy has a little bulge. Well, sure enough, it turned into an umbilical hernia. So
we've got this little guy with a broken tail and a umbilical hernia and a what about his eye? What?
Blocked tear duct.
Bless his heart. Okay.
So the blocked tear duct means he doesn't see well out of that eye because it's constantly swimming in tears.
Oh. I'll tell you what. I'm going to ask you to hold on to this. We're all going to sit for just a moment with the image of this wonderful little kitten with his umbilical hernia, which was brand new to me, and a teary eye and a broken tail. But first of all, Eileen, believe it or not, we've already come to the time where we have to, not have to, but where we want to acknowledge the sponsors that help bring Hunterdon Chamber Radio and this show, Life is a Spiritual Experience, to all our listeners. So hold on to the description about Gus. We'll be right back.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Well, welcome back, folks, to Life is a Spiritual Occasion. This is Suzanne Legay, your host, and we're on HuntertonChamberRadio.com, WHCR-DB. And my guest today is Eileen Clauser, and we're talking about relishing life. And I hope you get a sense of that while we chat together about it. But Eileen introduced us to a feral cat that she had saved, and his name is Gus. And that's just about as far as we got when we went to our first commercial break. So tell us a little bit more about poor Gus with, I say poor Gus, but I maybe not, with his broken tail and his teary eye and his umbilical hernia.
Well, actually, Gus, because he lives in this loving household, a household that is filled with unconditional love for any animal that comes to the door, I don't know if whether that created his loving being, or was he just a loving being who dropped into the middle of this because he was magnetized to it. I don't know. But he is a constant inspiration to me, because when I look at him chasing around the house, his tail dragging on the floor, his little umbilical hernia, just, you know, you don't really see it, but you know it's there, and his tearful eye, I'm inspired, because there's no emphasis on limitations in his mind. He has none of that. He has no fear. He runs to the door when the bell rings, like a dog, to see who's there. Who else can come and love me? Who can I love? He immediately goes to any strangers, curls up on their lap, takes a snooze, and says, well, isn't this where you were meant to be? He's just so in the moment that he's inspirational, because I would hope to be in the moment more and more and learning how to do that. And so this little animal informs me of that process. It's amazing.
Eileen, what do you think is the difference, though, between Gus's acceptance and joy of life and we humans? You know, if my eye's tearing, I'm likely to go around and say, it's a bad allergy day. I've been wiping my eye all day. Or, fortunately, I don't have a tail, but I would, whatever the symptom, whatever any other thing that was going on, I think, we tend to address some of our limitations. What's the difference, do you think, between Gus and maybe the greater majority of the rest of us humans?
That's a really good question. I have asked myself that a bit. Why does an animal learn to live, or walk rather, like on three legs? One of my daughter's dogs has a problem and only uses three legs at the moment. But it doesn't get in his way. None of Gus's disabilities get in his way at all. And so what I'm thinking is they're not hampered by any of us looking in the rearview mirror about what might have, should have, could have, would have been. They simply go forward with as much joy and love as they can muster. I don't know if that's true of a really abused animal, but I have a feeling it is once they get into a loving household. So I would have to say they don't focus on them. It seems so simple. They're just willing to do with what they have. And in Gus's case, man, it's full out enjoyment. He tackles the dogs. He bites the tails. He's constantly, constantly looking for fun and play. And when he's done, he finds the humans and he curls up on their laps and that takes his news. It's just, you know, like inspirational to me.
Yeah. So it sounds pretty clear, really, you know, listening to you, that Gus doesn't acknowledge limitations. I suspect that just the way you describe discovering him and so forth is that he hadn't learned any habits that might drive him. He doesn't believe that whatever's going on with him is holding him back, right?
Right.
And he maybe just isn't afraid, right? And I think that sometimes, Eileen, that it's our habits or our beliefs about ourselves. I'm not talking here about religious beliefs and those kind. I'm talking about a belief, I can't do this or I'm not able to, you know, what my limitations or mm-hmm. restrictions are. Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes that we humans, anybody I know, tends to have habits and beliefs and fears sort of the dominant players in our lives in terms of what really saps us of that joy or that freedom that we're talking about if we're talking about relishing life. How do you think that we can learn to sort of overcome some of these prominent things in our lives that are sort of relish killers, these things that play such a big part, our old habits or our beliefs or our fears? How do you think, what's the key to be more Gus-like?
One of the things I think first is acknowledging that there's more to life than what you have imagined or have been informed on, and that there's a whole book, so to speak, out there waiting for you to discover. And that in this, it can help you to look at perhaps the things that you have accepted. The key is comfortable in his skin, in who he is, and how that translates into being human, I'm not quite sure. But I did, you know, this book that inspired me, title is, may I say the title, Suzanne?
Yeah, sure.
The book, The Road to Spiritual Freedom by Harold Klimp.
Uh-huh.
And in the book, actually I was reading just before I went out for that walk the other day, which is why it came to mind, was a little story, perhaps that it talks to people's limitations, and even though they're told about them, perhaps they still don't know what to do with that information. So the story is by Rumi. Rumi was a 13th, most people know him. He was a 13th century Persian poet. He was a lot of other things as well, but the interesting thing was I looked it up, and he is currently the most popular poet in America. I never would have believed that. Highest sales of any poet in the U.S.
I have several Rumi books, so I guess I'm on the trend. I'm riding the rhythm, Eileen. I'm riding the rhythm.
So who knew? I didn't know that Rumi was, after 1270, I think is when he passed, that he's still that popular. What, 800 years? No, 700 and something. Anyway, so Rumi's got this little story in this book that kind of talks to limitations. And the story goes that there was a man, Rumi stories start like that, there was a man who trapped a bird, and he was a tiny little bird. And, of course, in trapping, his intention was for food. So, magically, the bird is able to speak, and he tries to talk Rumi, he tries to talk the man, not Rumi. Rumi is the author of the story. Talks the man out, so the man agrees. So, almost as an afterthought, the bird adds, oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, in my body is a huge pearl, as heavy as 10 coins. It was supposed to be an inheritance for your kids, but now it's gone. You let it go. It flew up here with me. So the man, he can't wail and cry and carry on and, oh, beating his chest and, you know, as only they can do in Rumi's poems. So the bird flew out of reach now while the guy is carrying on. And from the top of the roof, he says, oh, stop crying. Didn't I just tell you not to grieve for what's in the past? Also, don't believe in absurdity. Do you actually think that I could carry something the weight of 10 coins in this tiny little body? So it didn't seem to stop the man's wailing and crying. So when I read the story, what I looked at was, how often do we do that? That we know we have a map to sort of inform us of a way, perhaps out of some of our dilemmas, and yet immediately we're affected by our emotions or our greed or whatever it was that the man was feeling. So to me, that story just informs us about it's not enough just to hear the wisdom. Somehow we have to learn how to get at the wisdom.
The story really is clear in terms of what you're saying can trap us and so forth. I have to tell you, Eileen, one time I was riding behind a car and a bumper sticker, which I wrote down as soon as I was able to stop, said, don't believe everything your mind tells you. And every time I get stuck in, you know, in an internal conversation that where I hear my mind is going, nah, 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 and right. Very, very engaging, by the way. I remember that bumper sticker. Don't believe everything your mind tells you.
That's so, a good one.
And
good
it's one. It's like the little bird. It's like the little bird, Eileen, saying, you know, don't grieve over what's past, and didn't, you know, don't believe everything, every absurdity you hear. But that's going to take us straight into our second break already. So we're going to hear from some of the folks that helped to support Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance.
Eileen, welcome back to Life is a Spiritual Occasion. And we're speaking with Eileen Clauser, who is a spiritual student among many other qualifications in her life. And we've been talking about the vivre for life, the relishment of life. And Eileen got us through two parts of a three-part story when I cut her off. So recap very quickly, Eileen, about this a little bird. Go ahead real quickly.
Yeah, so there's this little bird that was trapped by a man, and he talks his way into freedom, and he does that by promising three bits of wisdom. Pretty smart bird. So the second bit was, what was the second bit again? Oh, it just flew out. So he said, don't grieve over what is past. It's over. Never regret what happened. Okay, so those were the two bits of wisdom. And then as an afterthought, the little bird said, by the way, I forgot to tell you that there's a huge pearl inside my body. It weighs about 10 copper coins, and you have now lost it because I'm up here and you can't get at it, basically, is what he said to him. So the man begins to wail and cry and carry on, and of course wishing that, you know, he still had this inheritance, and what did he do, and blah,
yes,
blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
Yeah.
So finally, in the pausing, he says, wait a minute, you told me three bits of wisdom. So the bird said, about the third one, are you kidding me? look what you did with the first two bits of wisdom, and flies off. Not wasting it on you, man. Makes you wonder, right?
Yeah, well, yes. And, you know, as you said before, Eileen, how much of that is applicable to our daily life? I think a whole lot of it, right? And that, you know, sometimes we do try and share things with folks, and we say it in any which way, or we try to show them in many which ways that we possibly can, only to find out at the end of that they weren't ready to hear it, right? The listening wasn't available to them at the time. And so they, you know, are you kidding me? I'm out of here. So Rumi in the 13th century knew a whole lot about life experiences, didn't he? And I think that is, as we're having this conversation about relishing life, and you know, how do we recognize, what are the clues that let us know that we might be in a place that isn't relishing? You know, one of your ways was, Eileen, to make a list, as you told us early on. You make a list of things that bring you joy, and that helps to move you into an expression and an understanding and actually experience of that joy. And so life's experiences, there's a couple other ways that, for me at least, and I wondered if you had any insight on this, Eileen, too, and that is I find my dreams really give me a whole lot of information. Does that work for you, too, or do you find that you have messages in terms
does.
Of?
Yes, it does, Suzanne, and I'll tell you about dreams and how they work for me. Yes, there seems to be a wealth of information, but the key to it for me is first accepting that is true.
Say a little bit more about that.
I have read so much about dreams and the information, the spiritual information that's available to us. But if we hold that off as, oh yeah, that's for somebody else, it's not for me. I think it's not available to us as readily.
Got it. Okay.
So basically, it's kind of like the mental adjustment that you do to accepting a gift, so to speak, as the man could not accept the wisdom. So with dreams, what I find is if I set my intention before I go to sleep and know that what I am meant to receive is perfect for me, then it seems to flow better. And so success builds on success. So, yes, dreams are very, very important to me. But, again, I need to do the work. I need to do the asking. I need to do the mining. I need to keep my spiritual ears open. But not just in dreams. So what I do now is I listen for the words from other people, from bumper stickers like you did. Don't believe in that your mind tells you.
Yeah, don't believe everything your mind tells you.
Right. A truck passing me may have a great sign on the side. I love that God overnight delivery one, the G-O-D. Billboards. Billboards are amazing at times. And usually I spot these things, these messages, when I am intending to, as a matter of fact, when I set out there to the universe or God or whatever you call it, higher consciousness, purpose, when I ask, what's going on here? Help me. I need some more. I need some more information. Then I see things. So, again, it's intention. If I'm just rolling through life with my ears shut down and my eyes at half tilt, I don't really get the messages quite as strongly without my intention being set.
So it sounds like expecting it and trusting it and accepting it. If I'm listening to your story, your explanation there, Eileen, right? It's that you expect that your dreams are helpful to you, it sounds like, and then it sounds like you accept what you get. And that you say you do your own work, and I'm thinking that means that the understanding of them. In other words, if I had a dream, it wouldn't be the same message to you as your dreams are to you, right? I would assume that if I told you about my dream last night, it wouldn't mean a hoot to you, perhaps.
Perhaps, yes. I think that each one of us is a unique being, and that we have unique symbols to our own experience. into our own lives, and sometimes they may be the same as another, but that going to a universal book of symbols or meanings of symbols in dreams doesn't really work for me. I try to take out what happened in the dream and play with it during the day, write it down. Sometimes it seems meaningful. Other times it was just a dream, just a jumble. And other times, man, it just comes with a big, big message like a billboard. Other times, not so much. So I'm no expert, certainly, in that department. I'm only talking about how it works, perhaps, for me.
But, you know, I mean, it sounds like a big dedication, right? I mean, this sounds, when we're talking about learning from life's experience, finding that balance, saying that you're looking for dreams or you're looking for signs, you know, if you're say you're driving long distance and you have a big question in your mind about something that's bothering you, and then all of a sudden you see some word or something, a billboard, something that triggers in you a clue for you to take that farther. That's a dedication. That's a dedication to understanding the joy of life and not just expecting that you deserve joy of living. Well, actually, I think we probably do, by the way. But I think we clutter it with a lot of our habits or our beliefs or our fears. I think that get in the way from that joy being there. But it sounds like you pay a fair amount of attention to this.
I do. I do. And it has, over the years, because I've been a spiritual student, a serious one, in any event, I would say about 30 years for true seriousness.
Oh, Mama, good on you.
Yeah, yeah. And it has become my life, so it's hard to separate that out from the me, perhaps, that I came in here as. I came in wondering a lot about a lot of things, and I think that was the breakthrough for me. Just allowing me to perhaps accept. I came in with a knowingness that there was much more than I was being told, folks. So come on, spill the beans, please.
Bring it on. Bring it on, right?
Bring it on.
As they say now.
Bring it on. As a young adult, I had the feeling that the full truth was not being delivered. And I happened to find a partner that felt the same way. So together, we hand in hand went down similar paths. Not the same path, but some very similar paths of discovery, and it's been good. It's been good. Yeah.
Okay. I was just checking my time. That was the okay. That wasn't okay to what you just said. I'm sorry. I'm here, you know, with my dials and my twists and my thises and thatses, so I apologize.
I'm impressed. I'm impressed because I'm imagining what it looks like.
Eileen, in terms of balancing what we're given, you know, you're working hard at this, and I don't mean hard as in drudgery, but you're paying attention to it, and you're dedicated to it. You said for 30 years you've been looking seriously at these kinds of things, of life being a spiritual occasion for each of us, whether we care to do the work or whether we recognize it or whether we don't. It probably just the way it is. How do you, you know, we have these gifts that bring us the joy, and sometimes they're tough times and we're still feeling joyous or we still have this relishing of life. What is it you do to balance that? I in the introduction, I said something about you being a hospice worker. Is that a way for, I mean, do you share these kinds of understandings, or like the bird that had the wisdom? Do you share this in the service that you give, say, when you're with hospice patients, or am I just stretching this too far here?
Well, actually, I think that the hospice people, the folks that I serve, it goes the other way, Suzanne. They help me so much because they allow me to just be there for them and to be an open repository for whatever it is they want to tell me. Very often, folks, as they come up close to death, their families cannot accept the fact that they're really going, and they hate that word, hospice. And so they really need to talk, some of them. Some of them cannot talk at all. Some have a few words. It depends on the type of case that I've been seeing. I was with a man this morning who just smiles brilliantly at me, says everything's fine, and drifts off into his own universe. I hold his hand from time to time. I think in giving my service is just being there for them. I have no agenda, because every patient, every client is different in their needs. And for me to attend to them enables me to be in a greater service of love and life. And it allows me actually then to receive more. So back and forth between the hospice client and me, generally, when I can get out of my own way, and I'm not saying I do 100% of the time, but most of the time, if I can just settle into being with them, not doing for them or not trying to push an agenda, the love flow between us is amazing. And I will get messages just to hold their hand, because very often people in facilities don't get touched enough, and I'm getting personal here, but there are people that are paid to do that in this, you know, as far as personal care, but there's no, I'm not saying there isn't any, but more than likely it's a rush kind of thing to get a task done. Whereas with the hospice volunteer, she comes in and she has an hour and a half, maybe two, to just sit and be, to listen if she can, to hold a hand, to brush back hair from a face, to just stroke the side of the face. Just, there seems to be often for me a need just to hold a hand, and it is so sacred. At the end, it is incredible, and I don't have words really to describe this.
You're doing okay, because I'll tell you what, I'm feeling so peaceful listening to you, actually, Eileen. It's lovely. I do have to interrupt you once again, though.
No problem.
As we move into commercial break.
But I could go on and talk about hospice all day.
Yeah, but you want to know, it's lovely. I'm just going to say that much as we move to hear from some of the sponsors of Hunterdon Chamber Radio, and that includes us at Life is a Spiritual Occasion.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our restaurant showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington, from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm, providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Of being a hospice volunteer and what love she gets in return for the service and love that she gives, and what kinds of lessons that brings to life. And whatever that change is not something that perhaps we can stick our finger on and say, oh, when I do this, this happens. It's a flow of that exchange and of that love back and forth between human beings. I'm projecting here. So I want to change just a little bit, Eileen, to our final quarter here in terms of our discussion, because we've been talking about our zeal for life, right? And relishing life in good and maybe even less than good times. I mean, if we look right now at our natural disasters, we've got fires blazing in California. We've had hurricanes in the Gulf, unrest across the middle. If we watch Gus, our buddy Gus that we learned about in the first quarter, or you're talking about all the way from Gus frolicking with all his disabilities to the folks that are on the path of leaving in hospice. How do you think that we can learn, really, not to be ruled by the things, by the outer conditions of the world or of the things that pull us in our personal lives? How do you work on that, Eileen? Because you sound like you have a bit of wisdom in you yourself.
Oh, thank you. It's a challenge. It's a challenge to remember, truly, that I don't have to engage in all of the stress factors that are going on in the world today. And one of the ways that I do that is try to seek an inner calm by meditating. And in my spiritual practice, we call it contemplation. It's actually just a higher form of meditation. And what I do is just seek a very calm place and stay there and find a mantra or a word or a spiritual teaching. It doesn't matter who. It doesn't matter the word you sing, as long as your intention is to create an inner space where the chatter in your head goes to a lower decibel, kind of like just dialing it down.
Oh, we can do that here in the studio, Eileen. I wish all life were quite like that.
Yeah, so just dial it down, folks. Know that the chatter is not helpful because it creates stress in our bodies, our minds, our emotions. Dial it down and then choose what you're going to engage in from a little bit higher perspective than perhaps you had before. And I think one of my disciplines is to try, I don't say I do it every single day, but I try to do it in one form or another every single day. Just go to a quiet space, sing my mantra with my eyes closed, and ask for some information from my higher purpose, from my higher being, a spiritual teacher, whatever you look to. And it doesn't really matter as long as it's something that you can focus on. And the other thing that I think is very helpful is to keep a gratitude journal. You know, there's a gratitude movement out there.
Ah.
And gratitude, it's called maintaining the attitude of gratitude. So if you can just jot down once a day one or two things that day that you're grateful for, I think you'll see some changes in the way you look at the world, the way you look at the nonsense that's going on in the world, and perhaps each day maybe back off an inch from the craziness.
That's, we're talking about living beyond habits, and yet when you say that, this making this gratitude list, I immediately put it between brushing my teeth and getting in bed. So I'm looking to form one of those habits in a different way than
habit.
We said that we don't want to be victims of, right, of habits and beliefs that we haven't quite examined.
Well, this would be one you would choose.
Yes.
You could choose it or not.
Yeah.
So,
I think in those moments, Eileen, do you find that that's where the wisdom lives? I don't mean the learning. I don't mean that the experience we've gotten from being in a job title or the, just being of a certain age and whatever your age is in life. But those quiet moments in that heart of hearts or soul of souls or quiet place that you described, you can figure what that means to you, that there is wisdom there. That's when the clarity arrives, it seems.
I am a different person if I have not done one of these disciplines. If I skip several days, I find that I think about things differently and I react to things differently. That's the only wisdom that I can share here, is I know that they have an effect on the way I receive and give love.
Well,
that's my job.
Well, good for you. I would say after listening to you, Eileen, and having this conversation, which I appreciate, that you've shown us that the wisdom does come from that and that your willingness to share it. I think that some of the things that came to me as we've been talking is, particularly when you were talking about Well, two things, actually, when you're talking about the hospice work, but also when you're talking about observing Gus and his joy of life, is that love what you do. Just plain love what you do. And I also think that this relishing life doesn't live in the circumstances, listening to you. This relishing life lives in our awareness, lives in our intention, lives in our consciousness. It's not something that because this circumstance happened, that's the way you have to feel. And last of all, I think that speaking of the stillness, which you just mentioned, and something comes to mind that I'm going to paraphrase here. It's not, I don't know what the person originally said, but something like, you know, if we focus on that stillness within, no matter what greets us, that's the one responsibility that matters. We need to look at the stillness no matter what's triggering us, and that's our responsibility to life if we live it as a spiritual occasion. So from all the way from Franklin, Mass, over the telephone, Eileen, I'm going to thank you so much conversation today and being willing to do this. You said in the very, very beginning when we started that it was a challenge to you. So I would say challenge met delightfully, and I thank you very much.
Thank you for the honor, Suzanne. I enjoyed it.
Great. Well, I'll be back here on November 16th, again from 4 to 5 o'clock, on Hunterdon Living, actually. Life is a Spiritual Occasion is a segment of Hunterdon Living, which is aired every Thursday of the month between 4 and 5 o'clock here on Chamber Radio, Hunterdon Chamber Radio. The blog of this show today, talking about relishing life, will be posted tomorrow, and we'll get that up on Facebook and so forth. So I thank you very much, Eileen. I thank you, listeners, for joining us. I thank our sponsors and Hunterdon Chamber Radio. And from the bridge, this is Suzanne Legay saying goodbye.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The mainstream media would cover that Russia has 20% of her uranium for whatever reason, and a lot of people understand what those reasons may be. That's your Russia story.
President Trump calling out the media for their failure to report a growing scandal that showed the Obama administration allowed Russia to gain 20% control of the American uranium supply with donations going to the Clinton.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
the mainstream media would cover that Russia has 20% of her uranium for whatever reason, and a lot of people understand what those reasons may be. That's your Russia story.
President Trump calling out the media for their failure to report a growing scandal that showed the Obama administration allowed Russia to gain 20% control of the American uranium supply with donations going to the Clinton Foundation. The president cited it as another example of the media being biased against his administration. Pressure is building up on the Trump administration to explain exactly what took place in a deadly attack in Niger that left four Special Forces soldiers dead. Senator John McCain says he doesn't believe the Trump administration is being upfront about the attack. The frequent critic of President Trump chairs the Senate Armed Services Committee. Pentagon officials say they are conducting a comprehensive investigation. USA Radio News.
For many businesses, hiring is tough, which makes it critical to choose the right place to post your jobs. You need qualified candidates fast and on budget, and you don't want to sign a long-term contract or pay upfront fees. That's why you need Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Independent research shows Indeed delivers six times more hires than any other job site. You can post a job in minutes and even set up screener questions to help you zero in on qualified candidates. You can review applicants, take notes, and schedule interviews, all from an easy-to-use online dashboard. For a limited time, Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to make their first job listing a sponsored job with premium visibility so more candidates will see it. You want to make a great hire fast, and this exclusive offer gives you a head start. Find out why over 3 million businesses use Indeed for hiring. To redeem this offer, go to Indeed.com/radio. That's Indeed.com/radio. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
A new survey showing a majority of Americans question the media. Chris Barnes reports.
The new poll out from Politico and Morning Consult shows 46% of the voters surveyed say they do believe major news organizations fabricate stories about President Trump and his administration, while 37% of the voters surveyed think the media does not fabricate stories about him. 17% said they were undecided on the question. As for the breakdown, an overwhelming majority of Republicans, 76%, believe the media fabricates such news, while 65% of Democrats say the media does not.
A teacher in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, seriously injured after being attacked with a brick in the parking lot of her school. The reason? The teacher had taken a cell phone away from a fourth grader during class. 46-year-old teacher Janice Wadkins took the phone from the student who tried to bite her. When the parents were called, the mother of the student told Wadkins she was going to get even for taking the child's phone. USA Radio News.
You lost?
Yes! Medicare is such a maze!
United Healthcare can help!
Is that why you're driving this bulldozer?
Hop in! Choosing a plan doesn't have to be complicated. United Healthcare has the people, tools, and plans to get you through it, including the only Medicare plans with the AARP name.
That was easy.
Need to find a Medicare plan? Get help now at UHCMedicare.com. AARP Medicare plans from United Healthcare. United Healthcare pays royalty fees to AARP. AARP is not an insurer.
A new study shows a surprisingly high number of American children have experienced traumatic situations. Sarah Lee Kessler takes a look.
The study by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation is a real eye-opener. Martha Davis explains.
46.3% of children who are 0 to 17 years old have experienced one adverse childhood experience.
What are we talking about?
Living with someone who is depressed or mentally ill, someone who is abusing drugs or alcohol, divorce, the death of a parent, witnessing violence in the home or a neighborhood.
Davis says traumatic experiences can impact a child's health, including brain development, but she says kids are incredibly resilient and can be taught how to bounce back. Sarah Lee Kessler, New Jersey.
A new study showing the growing link between cancer and sugar.
Published study, Belgian researchers found that yeast with high levels of glucose overstimulated the same proteins that are often found mutated in human tumors, making cells grow faster. Tumors grow by making energy through a rapid breakdown of glucose that's not seen in normal cells. The scientists say more research is needed to identify the main cause of this effect. As of yet, there's still no proof that eating a low-sugar diet could change a cancer diagnosis.
Cambridge University coming under fire after revelations students are being given trigger warnings before classes and assignments that contain plays by William Shakespeare. The university says the action was taken by individual teachers. One professor says they're giving in to hypersensitive students. USA Radio News.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it.
The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on 100andChamberRadio.com.